Hello and welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
We're going to go down the Jade Man rabbit hole today, Ed, looking at Tony Wong and his comics influence here in America, all the way from Hong Kong. But before we dive into that, let's hear about Red Room and what's new.
Long time coming, man, with the Tony Wong coverage. Right now, Red Room comics are hitting the stands mid-May 2021, and they're going to be hitting these stands in a relentless fashion every month. Gore on the shelves every single month. Murder on the dark web for fun and profit. These covers do not bury the lead. It's hardcore stuff in a sea of comics that are soft as cotton, Jimmy. If you want to read the comics ahead of time, $3 will get you the archive on my Patreon. I have over 100 pages up there right now, 3 complete issues. I serialize new strips every Tuesday, and it costs $3 for all of it, man. But very excited. I got to thank you for the variant covers you provided and the production values of this. Think of the Sin City issues. Nice cardstock cover with like a matte finish. Beautiful paper on the inside to capture the ink.
I'm excited to see them in print.
It's going
to
be
sick. I feel like it's been coming together for so long, I can't wait to actually see the production values and see that finished piece.
What you have, Jimmy?
I am showing off Octubriana 1976. This was my Kickstarter from last summer, and the reason I'm calling attention to it is I get questions about this stuff. I have a process zine for this that you can access on jimrugg.com. 350 pages of basically everything I did to make this comic, something we talk about a lot here on Cartoonist Kayfabe. And again, just a reminder to anybody new to the channel, if you want to see how I make comics, that's probably the easiest, most comprehensive piece that I've done so far in terms of my process. Lots of original art, sketches, drafts, scripts, and even how I sold the book. So you can find that on my website, jimrugg.com. And you can find more of my comics making and original art and out-of-print, hard-to-find zines on my Patreon at patreon.com/jimrugg. The best place is to keep up with everything I have going on until I announce my next book.
Yeah, what book is that again?
But for now, Ed, we're here to talk about Tony Wong, and a lot of comics have come through the U.S. with his imprint. He is based in Hong Kong. He has been creating comics since the late 60s, early 70s, and in the 80s started sending some of those comics here to U.S. comic shops. So we're going to kind of do an overview of his history and specifically his history here in the U.S.
I got to give a shout out to my Uncle Gus, man, who gave me his dregs of comics whenever he treated comics like magazines. He would go to the flea market, he'd pick up a couple, he'd read them, and he had no use for them. After reading them, come visit my grandparents who lived on the floor below us once a week, and he would bring me his stacks of comics that he read that previous week. There was some Monkey King, some Jade Man comics, Blood Sword was some of the titles that I had. And they were, the word mystical comes to mind because the production values, and we'll take a look on the inside.
I'm going to flip through while you tell this story so people, if they're not familiar, can see what these look like.
Yeah, there would be like these inked pages, and then all of a sudden you would get this like color piece, just like a weird looking painting that looks like almost like propaganda art or something, like in like, you know, like communist, like you can see Mao Zedong painted like that on a wall outside of an orphanage or something like this. Color holding lines, like just fascinating comics, a million panels per page, all fighting all the time, and they were perfect comics for me, man. When the issues that I had, they were quote unquote translated by Mike Barron,
right?
And try as you may to read those things, I think Mike was cashing some checks, man.
Yeah, I think he had a tall order because there were 4 or 5 of these things coming out monthly. And I can't imagine the notes he had to script these were very thorough.
You feel it, like there's a little hair of Tetsuo in this stuff. And then just so bizarre, right? Like now this is like a little collection type thing or something. So
this was the first Jade Man comic released in the U.S. This
cool.
I believe it's 1986 is whenever this was actually published here. 1988.
Look at that slick salary, man.
Yeah, so this is Tony Wong. And the way I would compare what he does is similar to something like Golgo 13, where you have a building of creators that are working under the Tony Wong direction. And he kind of explains that here. You know, he's doing sort of an overview. He's laying out a story, but then he has assistants and different people that are actually executing and doing different finished pieces on all of these books. So it's a staff of artists. They even go so far as to own the printing facilities.
Well, here's the publications. It's almost like IDW, where the comics are like a very small part of the operation. Like, you got to do the stuff to keep the lights on.
Extremely successful. And, you know, that's a good segue. Let's cut back to his origins. So this Hong Kong Comics is a history of Hong Kong's comic scene, which was heavily influenced by manga, as one, you know, might surmise. And he starts in that, you know, like, he found comics when he was a little kid and loved them. That's what he wanted to do, and he built an empire out of it. But this page, I believe, is 100% his work, or at least credited to him. Again, he has kind of a studio-like system working under him, so there may be other hands involved. But one of his longest-running series was called Little Rascals. It would morph into Oriental Heroes, because if you look closely, you can see extremely violent comics these things were. They're cartoony looking until you look close and see he's cutting this guy's spine open and blood squirting out of his mouth. A couple of covers with blood squirting out of mouths.
Jimmy, how cool would it be to see Spanky McFarlane with his like little spinny beanie on, or Alfalfa stabbing a dude with his
exactly.
That'd be amazing.
But, you know, the censors there, the government did not think so. They thought comics were for kids, and that does not look like a kid's appropriate to kids.
I would read it when I was little, though.
Absolutely, man. I would read it right now. But they start to crack down on him, and so he revises it a little bit. The Little Rascals were kind of like gangsters, morphs that into the Oriental Heroes, which ran for over 1,000 issues, starts publishing them in daily newspapers that he would publish. Again, owning printing presses, you know, sort of building this empire, would publish them in daily papers that were a penny each, and then collect them weekly into essentially the comic books. So kind of an amazing operation. I can't even fathom like a daily version of like picking these up. Think about webcomics, right?
Kind of makes sense. Like, there were so many freaking Jade Man books, and they're so rigorous. You are illuminating some things to me, Jimmy, because these were always mysterious comics. Had no idea about this stuff, and the rigor on those pages. It makes sense that there was a couple hands going into it.
And these are small, you know, small reproductions, but you can see that rigor even in this more cartoonish style. And this is 68 to 70 is what you're seeing here, to give some time frame of when this is. So, you know, in some cases, 20 years later that we get the Jade Man comics coming to our shores, and they do evolve over time.
I wonder if they actually had the license to The Son of Ultraman, 1969.
One of the last American comics that I have from him is an Ultraman comic. Which they do have the license at that point,
but yeah, he's doing work
a huge influence. You know, Ultraman being one of the big influences on his work, and part of the evolution from this kind of cartoony style to what we're going to see more of in the Jade Man comics is due to this artist, Ma Wing Shing, who works with Tony Wong, but is described in some places as like the Jim Lee of the Hong Kong artist, because he has a more dynamic style. The figures are more realistic. He becomes very popular as a result of these stylistic innovations. And so Tony Wong follows those.
It's so funny because I look at this and I'm like, oh, that's Tony Wong comics. But you're blowing my mind because it's this other cat.
It's really hard to credit exactly who is doing what. But
well, I mean, we see that earlier stuff and it looks one way. And then we see this and it doesn't look that way. I don't think Tony Wong has much hand in this.
All right, so we're going to cut now from 70s up into 1988, because that's when we start to see stuff. And this is probably some of the stuff, Ed, that your uncle was getting access
Absolutely,
to.
Yeah.
Because I feel like these Jade Man comics, you see them. You know, I see them in quarter bins and 50-cent bins. Published about 300 issues of Jade Man comics here between 88 and 90, 91. What ends Jade Man? Tony Wong's company in Hong Kong is publicly traded on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange. Look at the fighting and stuff. Like, all of the kung fu stuff is so cool in these comics. And apparently, whenever they ran into financial troubles, he ends up going to prison for fraud. So I think he cooked the books, so to speak, is where he committed fraud. Goes to prison for a couple of years and loses all interest and control of Jade Man. And so, post-early 90s, Jade Man is no longer Tony Wong. But he comes out and continues making comics, but he switches things up and it becomes like, I think, Jade Dynasty, I think, is the name of his company after his prison stay. But you can see the stuff that he was doing is in this company, which is like airbrush and painting on pages with line art. Very innovative. I mean, this is late 80s for us in the U.S. This is late 80s that you're getting this in the comic shops, and nothing looked like this. You know, this is a time of kind of that post-black and white explosion in the U.S., a couple years off before image and digital coloring start to show up, long before manga is really establishing a foothold. These are unique-looking comics. He's printing these in Hong Kong and shipping them to Baltimore to, you know, to be distributed here.
Hey, Steve, man, spread these around America for me.
And they're just, they're Kung Fu comics. For the most part, that's how I would describe the majority of the Jade Man output from that era, with a couple of exceptions. Those exceptions are Jade Man Collection. And Jade Man Collection, there were three issues of this published. They're still Jade Man comics. It's still that same window, you know, 89, 90. But they are other genres. Mm-hmm. So you're getting comedy, romance, horror comics, sci-fi, and they're not all credited to Tony Wong, which is kind of cool because he definitely signs his name on most of these.
Right.
And as you say, Ed, it's very hard to tell how much of it is his actual hand. And especially, I think finishing is where you're going to get assistants to come in. So in that case, they are going to look a lot different. But I figured if, you know, flip through a couple of these just to show off. This looks like Jade Man, but some of the styles do vary quite a bit.
You could find, like, these Jade Man collections are totally ubiquitous.
I mean, look at this stuff.
You could see them in quarter bins, like, all the time.
And you can see that manga influence as well. You know, they have that cartoonish things that characters break into, these, like, very cartoonish expressions and sort of that shorthand cartoon vernacular for various moods and things. Something that we see more now in contemporary comics, but again, 1989, good luck if you love Jade Man Collection, good luck finding another book for yourself. Fortunately, Jade Man was flooding the market.
Right.
So, you know, you could find other Jade Man comics, but...
Dude, isn't that the funny thing, dude? Like, when Marvel and DC were creating more and more titles to try to, like, monopolize the printing presses... This guy was like, I don't even need your shit. Oh, shit, snap, it's the Turtle Hermit from Dragon Ball Comics.
Yeah, you'll see a lot. If you start going through this, you'll see a lot of things that are probably borrowed from manga. But this is a good example of that much more cartoonish style than you're seeing in most of the Jade Man comics. He would also pack in these fold-out posters and some glossy prints. You know, one of the fun ones is in Jade Man Kung Fu Special 1. This is the first publication in the U.S. for Jade Man, so you get to see his operation, but you also get to see some of the flavor of, like, who is this big shot Hong Kong publisher creator?
Look at the,
how great is this?
The smog and shit behind him.
Yeah, a little bit of Stan Lee, you know, compared to all of these comic figures, as you might imagine. But I pulled a couple of these issues. This is Bloodsword and Bloodsword Dynasty. This is Ma Wing Sheng, the guy that I compared to Jim Lee. And, you know, you can see, possibly you can see, this guy was just at another level and drove a lot of the stylistic innovation that the rest of Jade Man really followed.
Yeah.
But Jade Man was the big operator out of Hong Kong, I think, in some cases, publishing 80% of the comics in Hong Kong. They were coming out of the Jade Man studio production facility.
They must have had some influence, too, man, because... There are things in here, like the different kinds of like kung fu styles and stuff. How do you get those across visually? And this artist was able to do that really, really well.
I think that's a big part of his appeal. And you think of like Hong Kong kung fu movie productions, and I assume, like, think of how influential movies are on American cartoonists. I would assume that that's the same case with Hong Kong artists. So, you know, if they're looking at local films and thinking, like, how do we get that kind of energy in our comics? There would be guys who would fetishize that and really put it in, and I think this is probably the guy.
The issue of Bloodsword that I had, I don't know the number, but there was a scenario where there were these, like, monofilaments, you know, like a fishing line going from mountaintop to mountaintop, and these guys were just standing on this fishing line, like, going in between, you know, past the point of no return and having a battle standing on, you know, a hair. Amazing.
Yeah.
And you felt the tension in the wire and shit.
I mean, this stuff to me, you know, I keep saying kung fu comics, but they really are in that same universe as like a kung fu movie and wire fu and all these different fighting techniques. And comics, it's almost like superhero movies now, where we suddenly have well, not suddenly, but we have the CGI to do this stuff that could only be done in comics. I would think that, like, these kind of fighting comics would have that same advantage. Like, you could do things on the page that maybe would be very difficult to set up in, you know, in a real-life shot.
Yeah.
I mean, like, extremely dynamic, action-packed, and you can see the painting techniques that are side-by-side with your line art.
Beautiful.
Very unusual. So, this is Iron Marshal. It's also a Jade Man comic. This is 1990, so they've been publishing for a couple years in the U.S., and this is one of the later titles that they did. How wild is that? I feel like Innovation Comics steal a little bit of this kind of, you know, this kind of look of having painted comics and things. You know, something to look different on the stands.
Right.
But I pulled this one out because this is an artist, Ku Fuck Lung, and continues to be active and working with Tony Wong at least into the 90s, because this is an Image published comic by him, and it's 1999, and you'll see Tony Wong is the director of this comic.
That means he's making money.
Yeah, exactly. But you can see the evolution. So, same artist as Iron Marshal, but, you know, a decade later, and kind of, maybe not that far removed. You can see some of that.
Absolutely. It's
continuity.
Just it's just a color that's sort of different, man. But look at how he builds this stuff. It feels like those SNK fighting games like Fatal Fury and King of Fighters and stuff.
And you can still see some of the Jade Man, you know, like it's still Jade Man. It's probably updated printing and technology in terms of
it's the same color palette. There.
But it's the same. Yeah, the line work is very similar. Storytelling very similar. And Image Comics publishing this in 1999.
No idea.
Pretty wild. And Image is not just publishing Tony Wong Associates, they're publishing Tony Wong books. This is Mega Dragon and Tiger. I'm gonna flip through issue 3. I was looking through these in preparation. Sean Connery reference on the cover for reasons I can't explain, but there's some really good action in this one, so I thought this would be a good one to kind of show off. Art and written by Tony Wong and his production team.
Yeah, I bet.
Extremely dynamic, though. Even in 1999, I feel like this is a pretty good-looking comic compared to most of the comics that are coming out in that time period. And just badass for that kind of machismo, you know, fight comics. Look at this stuff.
Didn't miss a step, you know? Just because it has the Image logo on it, still has the Jade Man energy, for sure.
Yeah, like, look how wild these fight scenes are, you know? It's Fist of the North Star of a dozen feet in the same panel landing blows. The face being out of line, like if you look close, you can see it's almost two drawings of this face, I guess, to show impact.
Right.
And then whatever digital innovations he can put into his work at
this
point.
Yeah, that's a little bleeding edge. Maybe don't do that one again.
Pretty cool, though. And same formula, like we said, just updated for, you know, taking into account the technology and stuff that exists at that point. And then the last Tony Wong stuff that I could find in my collection. There's some other stuff that he does around this time, like Weapon of the Gods is a series of graphic novels, and it's a smaller publisher. It might even be his publishing company, for all I know. So there's a couple other Tony Wong things from the 2000s. I don't have those represented, but these are like 03 time period. You see he's doing Ultraman Taiga for Dark Horse Comics, and that's a team-up of Ku Fuck Lung and Tony Wong. So Tony Wong doing the writing and the artwork by Ku Fuck Lung.
It's like the Yardbirds, man. Supergroup.
This is kind of badass. If you're an Ultraman fan, there's some really cool Ultraman art in this comic.
Those guys are badass artists, man. They better be.
Yeah, they are. And it's a little bit more of an edgy version of Ultraman because you see, like, you know, you can see, like, that's intentionally what they're going for, is to do a little bit more of a serious, I don't want to say adult, but a maybe a harder hitting, more mature version of Ultraman. I don't even know if that's the right way to describe it, but very cool looking. So for the Ultraman fans out there, this was a revelation to me. I didn't know this existed.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know this Batman Hong Kong existed, man.
Yeah, so this is, we'll end our Tony Wong tour with Batman Hong Kong. DC publishes it, obviously. Doug Mensch, Masters of Kung Fu writer. That's one of my favorite credits of Doug Mensch. Kind of cool to see that now he's teaming up with the master of Kung Fu comics on a Batman story. And Ed, you may want to borrow this because it's about murder on the internet is what gets Batman's attention on this case. And he traces it back to Hong Kong, of course, your James Gordon interpretation. And art and color, you know, basically all the visuals except lettering are provided here by Tony Wong and I assume his studio. So again, it's building on what you would see in those old Jade Man comics. You can see all the speed lines. You can see that combination of line art and then going to like painted art. So it's in line with what you would expect from Tony Wong and from the guy who brought us Jade Man comics. Lots of panels on a page, lots of action and fighting, and kind of an interesting interpretation of the Batman. It starts in Gotham City as he does some homework and puts together, traces this video, ends up back in Hong Kong where he gets in fights with organized crime, deals with the local police force who are connected to the organized crime, and even inspires a dragon vigilante superhero in Hong Kong who he fights side by side.
Perfect, man.
It's kind of what you want out of, if I said Tony Wong Batman, it's what you would want. It'd be your checklist.
I hope Count Dante shows up.
Look at that. Good punch in the face. Very painted, though. That almost looks like digital painting.
Definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of that in there. And then you see a spread like this. It feels Jade Man.
Yeah. And as far as, like, the digital painting goes, of course, like, all of his comics feel like they're using whatever the newest technology would be, and I'm sure that the digital tools entered his workforce very early on, probably a decade before this. So, this is a big book, too, by the way. It's, I don't know, 150 pages, maybe close to 200 pages, so no shortcutting here. Tony Wong had a chance to do a Batman comic and took every page that he could.
Amazing.
Yeah, there's your vigilante dragon figure inspired by Batman, and the two of them, of course, teaming up and working together.
Love it.
It's a pretty fun story because, like, everybody in Hong Kong is connected. The crime boss and the police captain are brothers. The dragon is, like, one of, I think, a nephew of the group. So, you know, there's these very close family ties between all of these characters. And, of course, your Jade Man kind of kung fu action.
Yeah, I gotta have the...
Which Batman, kung fus. Batman kind of fits in with. You see him trying, at least.
Good stuff, man.
How cool is that for a strange artifact?
Learn something new every day, man. You blew my mind probably 5 times this episode.
Yeah, so Jade Man, something that I'm sure we all have in our boxes of comics. I brought a small sample of the ones I have. You know, I could have probably, you know, filled a short box with them because there are so many and they're not too hard to come by. But quite a career. Like, once I started sniffing around and realized he has worked, you know, on decades on either side of those 1980s Jade Man comics.
And either side of, you know, the hemisphere, man, because I had no idea that these American books existed.
Pretty wild stuff.
What do you say, Jim?
Wrap it up.
K-favors, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit the bell, we'll notify you when new vids are available. Jim, what's out there?
Join me on patreon.com/jimrug. Or pick up my Octobriana process zine at jimrug.com.
Red Room issue 1 hitting the stands May 2021. It might be out depending on when you're watching this video, and it will be coming out on a monthly basis very reliably. You could pre-order the comics as I get the covers drawn and send them off to Fantagraphics at my link tree in the description below. You could get there for the pre-orders. You could read my comics ahead of time at my Patreon, patreon.com/edpiscor. $3 gets you the whole archive. I have over 100 pages of comics up there. Put new comics up every Tuesday, and there's more than 3 issues worth of stuff there as we speak.
You can subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we have going on and coming out in 2021. You can find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Jimmy, give them one less set of marching orders, man. We're going to be on our way.
Read more Kung Fu comics.